You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. I want to take a quick moment before we jump into the podcast episode for today to announce to you what I'm super excited about, which is the opening of the ranks of Adullam. If you're not familiar with what it is, it's going to be a 12-week group transformation initiative where we will together, you and me together, we will be going after the life change transformation that so many men have already been encouraged by, built up by, whatever you want to call it, through the DNA of a man. We are going to take the content of the DNA of a man and we are going to go deeper, farther, and wider with it. We are going to expand our borders as we develop kingdom manhood within us. This is going to be the most powerful 12 weeks of many men's lives. And I want it to be the most powerful 12 weeks of your life. I want it to be crucial in your transformation. I want it to be crucial in you rebuilding your marriage. I want it to be crucial in you finding your kingdom mission on the earth so that you can stop living small, stop living stuck, stop living apologetic. Over these 12 weeks, we're going to be having live meetings together, and you're going to be getting video recording trainings from me, and you're going to have fellowship and interaction with other men on the same path as you. This could really be a turning point in your life, and I want you to be a part of it. Until November 4th, we have early bird registration pricing. After that, the price is going to go up by $300. So this is really incredible value for the low price that you can get it up until November 4th. All right. If you want to look at more info about it and read up all about it, you can head to manwarriorking.com/Adullam. That's Adullam. And I'm also going to put the link in the show notes here. All right. So join me, join the other brothers, and we will see you soon. Here's the podcast episode for today. Good morning, and welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I'm your host.
It's so funny.
Matt Halleck.
God.
You were laughing.
I was.
This is going to be a very interesting episode because I get the honor of having my wife, Corey, on the episode with me today, and so I'm feeling very laughy. Which is not how I normally feel on the episodes, but we've already been laughing a lot even before we hit record. So yes, my wife Corey is on the show today. And she is a powerful woman. She has written two books. One is a children's family middle grade reader. It's a chapter book. It's a novel about a young girl who meets Jesus in her yard. And she has also just recently finished writing and is currently working on publishing a picture book called You Can't Do Cartwheels Down the Hall. In addition, she has also led countless people in various roles. She's written and directed entire VBSs. She has done led teams of people in various ministries. She has coordinated entire dance studios full of parents to put on dance shows, Nutcracker and things like that. She has been a birth doula. She has been a mentor and counselor to other Christian women. She is a speaker and she is a podcaster. She is amazing and powerful. And I wanted to have her on the show, first of all, because I like her. Hey, we said the same thing. Because I like her. But also because I think you guys will be very benefited and blessed by hearing an actual woman's thoughts on these things of marriage. I've recorded a course called Take Back Your Marriage, which goes over 7 marriage lies or myths that we in the church have believed. And they're very good sounding and they sound like they're honoring to Jesus. And of course, these lies sound like we are just being good Christian husbands. And in that course, I really make the case that they are not Christian truths at all. They might be church truths, but they're not kingdom. And they're not from the heart of God. And so today, Corey and I are going to be talking about a few of those that are in that course. And we're going, and you guys are going to get to hear from her take on some of these really common marriage misconceptions. And I think that even more than hearing from me, hearing from her what a woman thinks, what a wife thinks about these things, is going to really help reorient your perspective on this stuff. So, without further ado, Corey, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. It's very formal in our kitchen.
It's very formal in our kitchen, yes. So, the 7 marriage lies, which we've already had a chance to talk about.
We've been talking about them long before you even made the course.
Yeah. We may have lived under some of them for a while.
Yeah.
But we honed in on 3 of them that I thought in particular, and you too, but I thought would be really good ones to just kind of knock out right off the bat for guys.
But before you jump right into them, can I say a couple things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, because, you know, you especially, probably you more than me, it's been in your heart to go after and dig into how to have a strong marriage, like from a long time ago in our marriage, right? And so I think I just want to say, like, we noticed these. I remember kind of some of the breakthrough of noticing, like, oh my gosh, he's getting bad advice, was when I picked up that one book that you were reading, and it was a marriage book. I forget what it was called. I don't want to trash whoever that was who wrote it.
I don't remember what
it
was
called.
But
I was like, let me see what's going on in this book. And I started reading it and I was aghast. And I was like, my God, like, this is not what I want. And I mean, he was saying very confidently, like, this is what you got to do to keep your wife, like, interested in you and fulfilled. And I was highlighting so much of the book, not because it was good, but it was like what not to do. I remember I brought it back to you and I was like, I don't want any of these things. Like, please don't do them.
For instance,
the one that like blew my mind, and he was talking about being married, like after you're married even, send your wife letters and cards at her work, like, so that she, yeah. And I was like, that's awful.
And I was like, that's romantic.
No, I was like, please don't mail me a letter where I work. And I suppose there is probably a woman somewhere or lots of them who would like that. But for me, that was like awful. Like I wanted to gag a little bit. I was like, please don't do that. The other one was it was very confidently said. He was like, listen, women like to be danced with in public for like no apparent reason. And I was like, no, like don't yeah. do that. Come to find out, this guy was also divorced. He was writing this book after he was divorced, and he was trying to write it as like a, don't do what I did, you know, do the opposite. But are those the ones that you remember from it that were just like the most?
Yeah, those are the one I remember you bringing
that up. That was like, don't ever do these things.
Yeah. But then on the flip side, I've told this story to a couple of guys too. I found an article by a guy named Steve Horsman, which is an unfortunate name, but but he, and I found an article by him, and I either left it up on the computer or I had printed it out, and you found it.
Oh.
And he's a non-Christian guy also, but I remember that article you seeing, and you said something like, this guy knows women.
Oh, interesting. I don't remember that one.
Really?
No.
And it was, and it turns out he's actually the same guy who wrote he put a bunch of his blog articles into a book, which are really good, but the title is like something about like a hope for the desperate husband or something like that. Yeah. And so it has this connotation. It's
still has like that desperation.
Except he's basically making the point that you've got to stop.
Right.
But when you said that, I was like, yeah, I had a feeling. And
which just kind of goes back to our point that unfortunately a lot of the advice floating around in church, not all of it, because we've gotten some great breakthrough and stuff like up at Love After Marriage and stuff like that. But a lot of the things that we hear, these lies, they're kind of like like kind of trite little advice isms even that get just kind of thrown around a lot, and especially in church marriages. And so that are just kind of hopeless sounding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sneaky because they also
sound... And very wife-centered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they sound holy. They sound like the Christian way.
Well, they sound like self-sacrifice. Yeah.
So...
Okay, so that's just... I wanted to give some, like...
Yeah.
Background to it. For me, at least.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Because it was shocking to me at the time that it was like, oh my gosh, he's been reading all these books. And I thought, oh, well, that's sweet. I mean, I know he's trying and he's really going after education in this, and he wants to know, so he's seeking advice. Yeah. And then come to find out, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't like this. This advice doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
This advice would be for a different woman, you know?
Yeah.
So that was just shocking to me.
At which point I thought, oh, well then what's wrong with you?
So much.
And it wasn't really... And unfortunately, that one book that you found is kind of representative of, like you said, of a lot of other, that wasn't Christian, but a lot of Christian books help out there. And it wasn't really until I found Steve Horsman, but then also the Red Pill masculinity movement, which is completely secular, that there's actually useful things for marriage. Uh-huh. So anyway, without further ado, let's look at, I'm trying to decide which one we should save for last and which one we should kick it off with.
Okay.
I think we need to start with happy wife, happy life. So, Corey.
Yeah.
What is your initial gut level reaction to that philosophy?
Well, I think right off the bat, it just seems really trite to me, and it seems overly simplistic, right? And I've heard men say this to other men, well, you know, happy wife, happy life. And whenever I hear it, I'm like, man, if your wife is overhearing that, does she feel honored by that, or does she feel like kind of kept, you know? And then as I dig into it, I'm kind of just like, well, what is the word happy even supposed to mean there? You know, I can be happy without being fulfilled. You know, I can be happy because I got more than half of my to-do list done for the day, right? That happy is super like trivial and temporal and top level, right? And happy wife, happy life, that also to me, it kind of has this connotation that that husband is only looking for a happy life. And that also seems really trivial. Like, that's all you want. You know, that's not a life on mission. That's not like a power-filled life. That's not like a life where we conquer things, a fulfilled life. I just want to be happy. And I, there's that too. A lot of times in TV shows and stuff like that, it's kind of like the husband kind of just wants to be like left alone to do his thing. Right. And so if my wife's happy, then I can do whatever I want. And that's not, I don't believe that that's what marriage is supposed to do. There, of course, he should get to pursue what he wants to pursue. Like, and that's on the wife also, right? So that if, like, I want to give you space to do the things that you're excited about. That doesn't mean that you have to, like, sit around with me and, you know, help me decorate for fall, right? That's not something that's super hugely important to you. That's not your... that's not in your wheelhouse. Yeah. So, but, I forget kind of what I was saying there for a second, but so it's, to me, that kind of just speaks of a man who kind of just wants, he wants the road of least resistance. Like, oh, well, if she's just happy, then my life gets to be happy. It also, if you say it that way, if she's happy, then I get to be happy. That's a victim mentality and kind of coming under her emotions. And like I only get to be happy if she's happy. It's not on this list, but a similar sentiment is like, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That one I've found more convicting than anything, because I'm like, well, why does my unhappy get to splash out all over everybody in my home, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know a whole lot of women who really want to be the wild emotional train wreck in her home that everybody else has to just deal with. I don't know any women who truly base level want that. You know, So I think a fulfilled wife will give a husband room to pursue the things that he feels driven towards or called to or something like that. And that it doesn't rhyme, or it's in more than four words. So it's not as quick to say as happy wife, happy life. But yeah, fulfilled wife. I don't know, fulfilled life, I guess.
So then a husband who is constantly trying to do whatever he can to make or keep you happy does not therefore lead to you being fulfilled.
No, because within that is also this accusation, right? Like there's kind of an accusation that I can feel, at least. Like even just the other day, I was like, you were going to like cancel something to help me with something else. And I was like, no, that's not what I want. Right. Like I'm feeling my own frantic self, but I'm not actually wanting everybody else to stop, drop and serve me, you know? And so yeah, I can feel an accusation in that also of like, ugh, she's just so much work. I just have to keep her happy all the time. You know, and then there's guilt that comes right after that. Like, well, no, I don't want you to just be like, oh, you know, plugging along, trying to keep me happy. I want to be honored. I want to be esteemed. I want to be like looked at as a partner and a companion, and like, oh man, she's awesome. And I love like making it possible for her to pursue her dreams too and stuff like that, but not boiled down to something as trite as just she's happy.
And you want the freedom to be able to be unhappy mm-hmm. without trying to be forced back into happy.
Right, that's true, yeah. Because sometimes I need to just deal with what I need to deal with and, you know, pop in my earphones and go, like, weed a bunch of weeds or clean a closet or something. And I don't really need to just be forced back to happy.
Which is sometimes a challenge.
Yeah.
It used to be more so for me, but it is a challenge, I think, for a lot of guys that I've been talking to, because they feel like, oh, if she's not happy, then
that she must be not be happy with you.
Yeah. And then yeah. I'm, you know, in for it, or mm-hmm. she's not mm-hmm. happy with me, and why can't she just be starry-eyed, like,
right,
dazzled by me all the time?
Right. Well, when it might not have anything to do with you, you know?
Yeah.
But then it's on her, the, like, again, if her unhappy is spilling out and smacking everybody in the emotional face around the house, then that's on her. That's hers to deal with and figure out. And I've been there before too, right? Where I haven't been expressing for hours usually that, okay, and then that felt like, I felt disrespected there. I felt disrespected there. I felt taken advantage of here, you know, home with kids and everything, and the house is a mess and blah, blah, blah. And I'm feeling all these things encroach upon my peace. Then all of a sudden, if I'm not expressing my needs from the beginning, like, hey guys, can you put those things completely away? You know, and I'm letting little things slide along the way. Suddenly I feel painted into a corner and I just blow up, right? And I think a lot of women can relate to that. They're just like, I can't take it anymore, you know? And so, but that's on her. That's not on the husband to, like, tiptoe around and fix for her. That's on her to rein in it's not to cancel out the emotion, but it's to check in with herself sooner and lay down boundaries where she needed to.
Right. So what kind of behavior in me, a man, mm-hmm. is attractive to you rather than the, like, oh, are you okay? Let's make sure you're okay kind of thing.
Yeah, because I think we've done both directions where you're either like, hey, are you okay? Or then there's also like, hey, you're out of control and it's like really not cool, you know? And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to kill you with a 2x4, you know? Like, So yeah, she doesn't. So this is why we're so hard. Really, it is, because I think for me personally, I would like a moment of just like, oh my gosh, has this day just been pushing you over? You know, just like that question, just an acknowledging question. Not like,
everybody just take a moment to write that down word for word. Like, that's a good man script.
Yeah, that's a good man script. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Is this day just pushing you over? Because, like, chances are she's just feeling bewildered, actually, and just kind of overwhelmed with all the stuff in her mind. And all the stuff on her list and all the stuff that she had hopes to do today, that as the day slips away, those hopes are getting thinner and thinner. And I'm going to go to bed again tonight and have to scoop the laundry off of my bed first, right? Because I haven't gotten that far in my list. And so she's probably already feeling, oh, discouraged or whatever. And so I think, but sometimes you'll say something like, hey, are you okay? And that tone and that phrase, I'm like, I hate it, because that sounds like a little bit of an accusation. Like, what I hear in that is like, hey, crazy lady, like, you wanna come down from this frenzied place? Yeah. You know, I mean, I feel like I'm like, you know what? If you aren't standing there with a glass of wine, then what even are you? Like, here, honey. but I think the question of like, hey, is this day just like, is it really pushing you over? could also bring out some deeper things, you know? And then just like, okay, well, and I don't know. And I think the next step from there kind of has to be figured out within each relationship. I know for me, after that question, it can just be like, okay, well, what would help you the most right now? Or do you need to just kind of bluster around, you know? Mm-hmm. And you and I have worked so much and talked so much about like your tone of voice, your body language, you know, like if you're kind of like leaning into me kind of patronizingly, like I die inside. And if you're kind of like, if your arms are crossed and you're like, so what can help you to not be this way? Then I also die inside. And so there's just so much based on like that tone of voice. And so it should really be like, I think I at least want the tone and the aura, the atmosphere to feel like, hey, I got your back, and I'm sure you're truly being pushed over and feeling cornered. You know, there's not a flavor of, okay, you're probably being irrational, you know, because here's a fun tip. She already knows she's being a little bit irrational. Like, I can feel it.
Which in and of itself is irrational, because if you know you're being irrational, why are you continuing to be that way?
Yeah, well, that you might be able to choose that, but she's already feeling like I'm probably, you know, I don't know, my kids are probably going to have to talk about this in therapy someday when mom would just storm around and, you know, and I don't want to storm around, you know? So I'm already feeling guilty about how I'm feeling. Mm. And that compounds how I'm feeling. So sometimes I just need room to storm around. And not in a way that hurts others. That's why I have learned, okay, I'm going to pop in my earphones and I'm either going to, like the other day, I just like ran around the block, right?
Yeah.
And, or go weed, or do a project, or go like lay face down on our bed for 5 minutes, you know, just like you need to govern yourself here, Corey.
Which is interesting, because it seems a lot of guys sometimes like in those moments, in those situations, think it has to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they try to insert themselves,
mm-hmm.
or should I say we try to insert ourselves mm-hmm. into the moment, which gives you just yet another thing to actually have to worry about and manage,
right?
And feel like, oh, now I got to take care of him because right, he's not strong enough to be okay on his own.
Or just like, here's another thing that I'm not doing well, right? And he's like, or you can say, you know, okay, because I really need you to such and such. Like, okay, all right, so here's somebody else who needs something from me. I just nursed the baby. I just ran school. I just did this, this, and this. And now you're like, are you okay? Because I really need you to calm down. Like, oh, okay. So you too, you know, it's just like, who else can I help?
Which
you
is
know?
Not a recipe for attraction.
No, it's not.
Desire.
Yeah.
Anything like that.
No.
Heat. Anywho.
Okay.
Let's look at the next one.
Yeah, that was long. Sorry.
That's okay. This is a good... It should be long.
Okay.
So the next one I think I want to do is that she's always right, or she's right 99% of the time, mm-hmm. whatever variation of that.
Mm-hmm.
That I've seen that thrown around a lot, all over the place. And it's said often tongue-in-cheek. It's said often like...
Right. A lot of times it's being said sarcastically.
Yeah. And it's said sarcastically among men to each other. But it's like... But it's with this attitude of... But, I mean, that's just how we have to kind of live.
Right. It's surrender. To me, I like envision like a man putting up his hands like, okay, you're right, you know, and yeah. just kind of walking out. And right. I think it plays actually back into happy wife, happy life.
It does. Yeah. A lot of these are related.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah.
So what, the she's always right
Yeah. What's
thing.
your what's your What's your gut reaction to that?
Well, I mean, it's true.
No.
No.
Disclaimer, you can't believe everything.
I also, for my part, I don't think I'm always right. You know, I can remember kind of like a small picture of it. Like I remember in our labor with Darcy, our second, and our first home birth, where like pain meds was not an option. I remember that at one point I looked at our midwife and I was like, never mind, I want the drugs. And I knew in my brain that I was kind of joking, but I kind of also just wanted to say it to see what happened. And it was my way of expressing like, blah, you know, and she just rolled her eyes at me, which is so funny. She was like, okay. I think sometimes when we're going through crap in our day or in our brain, I think sometimes I just need to say bleh things that I don't actually maybe fully mean in my full conscious self, right? But just like, ugh, like everybody always leaves everything around, you know? Or like nothing is ever finished or things like that. Just total like blanket statements that I know aren't true, you know? And even with stuff with our kids, I know I'm not always right. Matt, I know I'm not always right, okay?
You heard it here first.
Yeah, I know. Dang, now it's recorded. And so when I hear that being said by husbands or men or whatever, to me, it kind of feels like he's just backing away from the conflict. Like he's backing away from that point of tension. And I don't necessarily think that marriage is supposed to be tension free. We like tension sometimes. You're going to build up some tension.
Trying to right now.
Yeah. It just feels like a guy who's just, wanting to just let her have her way again so that he can be happy. But it also has this kind of overt sarcasm that we know he's lying. She's not always right, and she knows it, and he knows it. But it's almost like, I got to do this to make her happy. Now, I think a better thing to say here would be, she's always worth listening to. She's always worth hearing her opinion. She's always worth hearing her viewpoint because it's valuable. Even if you think it's wrong, it's valuable to know what life looks like from where she's standing. So she might not always be right, but neither are you, you know? And it's usually probably more likely a blend of the two viewpoints that is correct. And so she's always worth honor.
Right. And...
because, oh, sorry, can I keep going? Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Sorry. Because also I think if she's always right, that's a man who's not setting up boundaries with her. And a boundary, and then a man who's not setting up boundaries is again, not attractive, but also is just going to be constantly getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And then in his own way, he's going to get painted into a corner and lash out in his own way.
Right.
Right. And so that's kind of a recipe for either some serious, like, passive aggressive, whatever, or manipulation or, you know, and so that's a lack of boundaries. If she's just always right, then she doesn't have boundaries either. And, we need boundaries, not because we need to be bound, you know, but because that's health, right?
Otherwise, you'll misbehave all the time.
No, otherwise, you don't know who the personage that you're married to is. Who are they? And what makes them who they are? Then you're making who your husband is also. And that's not how it's supposed to be. And that's not actually a relationship. That's just steamrolling.
Yeah. That brought up several things for me.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, you said, oh, if a man isn't establishing like his own boundaries. It's mm-hmm. not attractive. Mm-hmm. And remember, I told you I was listening to that one like webinar thing several days ago, and the guy in there said a pretty strong statement that was like, a man to be truly masculine in his marriage and his relationship needs to have certain terms that he lives by mm-hmm. in his life, that he would sooner lose the marriage than sacrifice his commitment to his terms of living or his principle. Now, that's a really strong mm-hmm. statement, mm-hmm. but it's somewhat related to that idea of like, okay, I see what you're saying, mm-hmm. wife. Mm-hmm. However, you know, I'm not going to waver from whatever things that mm-hmm. I feel very strongly about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, what's unfortunate is that, and this didn't happen for you or me, but those things should ideally be understood and established before the marriage ever happens.
Right.
Right. Like, and we're not teaching our 18, 19, 20, 23, 25, 27-year-old men how to lead with that in a dating relationship. They're, you know, it's so common for women who are dating, and they'll tell me things like, and I told him how it, you know, I'm going to need this and I'm going to need that. And women in our culture right now, and it's good because we're coming out of, you know, millennia of the women not being allowed to be like, these are my terms. So she's marching in with like, oh, this is what I'm going to need. And she's got her boundaries, or at least her expectations. And, because I don't think that women actually are super great with setting up boundaries either all the time, or at least we aren't. In the church, we're not trained into boundaries a whole lot in marriage. Mm-hmm. It kind of seems like we're supposed to not have boundaries in marriage.
Yeah.
And so, but women go in with their little list of demands or whatever. Like, he knows that I'm going to need to have a ring that's this many carats, you know? But I don't know that the men are really walking into dating being like, well, this is what's going to happen in life with me.
Right. So. We don't have a lot of John Wayne men entering into marriage.
Or like freaking, who was it? Davy Crockett? I think he was like, when he was like, there was a story I read as a kid when he was, I think it was Davy Crockett. Or who's the other one? Daniel Boone? It was either Davy Crockett or Daniel Boone. One of them was like courting his soon-to-be wife, and they were like sitting there, and all of a sudden he just reached over and he cut off some of her skirt, and she was like, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, well, like, life with me is going to be super, like, unexpected and have a lot of twists and turns, so I just wanted to see how you could handle stuff. And she was like, okay, well, that was weird. But she, like, was chill about it, and he's like, wow, you're ready for life with me. And I'm like, that's a weird story. Don't cut up my clothes, okay? It's not gonna go well with you in the land. But that kind of thing, I feel like men need to have the freedom to say, this is what I stand for, and this is what's gonna happen, and not in a way that's like, again, not in a way that's dishonoring or disrespectful or domineering, but just like, this is gonna be, I'm not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I think back to, we were standing in our room back when we lived with your mom, right after we started therapy, and you did this with something. I mean, you were like, I'm not going to do that. And it was something, I wanted you to do something in like a fight. I wanted you to apologize for something or own up to something. You were like, I'm not going to do that. And, it was actually kind of hot. I was like, he's so handsome. I mean, that's literally, and it's really funny, like, because, and again, I want to be careful because this isn't the case in all marriages, right? Where the man needs to be more assertive, but that's been the case in our marriage. So I'm a pretty assertive personality and you are, but you had stuffed it down for so long, right? And so to see that assertion coming out of you, that like, no, I'm not going to do that, and this is the way it's going to be, It answered something in my soul of like, oh, this person's going to be strong in his own self and I can be safe there.
Yeah.
Instead of just doing whatever I wanted.
So like the right kind of conflict can actually provide safety for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is counterintuitive to a lot of guys who are completely unaware of all of these dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because actually conflict where my emotion totally pushes you over and like just bulldozes everything, that's not safe for me.
Yeah.
That's not, because then who stops the bulldozer? Me, right? Then I have to stop me. And not that it's up to you to stop me, but if you're like, no, I'm not going to do that. I hear you, Corey, but I'm not going to be able to go like, to like fully acquiesce what you're wanting me to own.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, well then I have to stop there.
Right.
And it can stop my feeling of like somebody listen to me, you know, because I'm being listened to, but not necessarily obeyed. And I'm not necessarily looking for obedience from you.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's always right would be, so I better obey her.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that kind of leads into what I wanted to ask more about that topic too, which is in matters of like life decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's like where we're going to head as a couple, as a family, mm-hmm. or for me, the man, to be like almost submitting all of my thoughts or potential plans to you, mm-hmm. as to get either a stamp of yay or nay on them, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
that this, I think the same thing can apply in that kind of a situation. What does that do? How do you think of this? She's always right
in that context
with life decisions, whether it's as a family or the man just in his own thing,
mm-hmm.
just not having his own thoughts until he talks to you
mm-hmm.
first.
Mm-hmm. Well, it can be, first of all, it can be very disorienting for like in seasons where you wouldn't have your own thoughts. And then all of a sudden, boom, you do. That's very disorienting, actually. And so if it's like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, you can plan that and you can do that and you can run that. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, we're going to move here and this is the way it's going to be. That is, it's like whiplash, you know? And so I think my answer, which is kind of vague and again, will have to be worked out for couple to couple, is you better onboard that process. And it has to start with like the tiny little things. You know, it's like, oh gosh, what's that quote that's like your priorities are like the sum of all your little actions or something like that. That's terrible. But
I have
like,
no idea.
It's like, you're the sum of all your tiny little steps.
Okay.
It's like that Marine guy, was he Marines or
oh,
he said
yeah,
like first thing you gotta do, you gotta get up and make your bed. Like your whole life is the sum of like, okay, when breakfast is over, do we wipe the kitchen table? Like what are the little things that are, and that's for me. Like I'm like, oh, my house is such a mess. Well, like, okay, well, along the way, did I do little things along the way? Am I training my kids to do little things along the way so that it doesn't get to this explosion place? And that's the same thing in our marriage, I guess. So that if you never have an opinion about anything and then all of a sudden you have an opinion, that's really confusing.
Yeah.
But if we're working together as a couple to be like, oh, well, I think we should do this. Oh, okay. And we're both taking turns of being like, oh, that's great. You have an opinion there. And oh, and I've told you before, like, you better make a plan or I will. Like, I'm a planner, right? So I even have a plan for how to make a plan. Loading the car to go on a trip. I have a plan in my head. I was probably up in the middle of the night working it out in my brain how we'll fit everything into the car, right? And so if
not me. No, I'm like, let's
you're out
let's
in a
see
light.
How this goes when we get there.
Let's yeah. And so if you want to like do it together, you better have some sort of a little plan, or I'm going to need to just walk away and let you figure that out on your own. And then I'm going to, so I need to just know what are the things that I can totally, I don't have to think about. Because that's the other thing is, for me and my personality at least, I think about a lot of stuff. Did you know that?
Yes.
And sometimes it's really freeing to know the things that I don't have to think about. So if you're like, hey, I have vision for this and I am really excited about doing this for our family or, you know, and then I can be like, oh, okay, I don't have to, you know, if you're like, hey, tomorrow I'm going to pack the whole car, babe. You don't have to worry about it. Then I literally can pull out my little yellow notebook and be like, check, like Matt's doing that. And I don't have to think about it anymore. I don't have to add it into my timetable for the morning before we leave on our trip. So I think all along the way, that way, if we're working on our partnering in all the little things, then we can work on our partnering in the big things. And it's not quite as shocking when all of a sudden you have a big opinion about something big in our life.
Yeah. I think something that I have tried to navigate and learn what does leadership look like in this area of like making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, and what does it look like, you know, because you are such a doer, mm-hmm. you get things done and you plan things and you would probably naturally plan all the things way far out in advance than I would.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be easy for me to think that, well, in order to be a leader of our relationship, I'm going to have to really go to the drawing board and think about all possible things that are going to need planning in the next 6 months and make sure that I get it planned and think out in front before mm-hmm. you do. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're going to be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But that's not necessarily the case, right? Because I'm not asking you to be me. I want you to be you, but in a way that keeps me safe. Because, you know, the planning way out in advance like that, for me, that's actually born out of my knee-jerk, really old, habitual need to protect myself. So I'm planning out in front like that because that feels like protection. Whereas if I'm trusting your protection more... then I can be like, oh, okay, yeah. I mean, you know, like I used to plan, I keep coming back to road trips. I used to plan road trips a lot, right? Like, and I wanted to know everything about them because in my past, I went on some road trips where, as like a child, where I felt like I was kind of just along for the ride and my needs weren't necessarily being anticipated or, and as we've progressed further into our marriage and our relationship, I don't really think about it much anymore because I know now that when we're out on the road and I say, I'm hungry, you're not going to be like, well, tough.
I'm going to be like, happy wife, happy life.
No, you're not. But you're going to be like, duh, you're hungry. I'm hungry too. Like, when are we not hungry, right? And so we're going to find a Chipotle or we're going to find something awesome and it's not a big deal. It's not a big hassle. It's not a big like problem for our road trip. It's just like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to take care of you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the more and more I'm trusting that, then I don't have to think out in front. And then I can think, yeah, we're going to go on a road trip tomorrow and it's going to be what it is,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm not having to like anxious, like, do I have all the things, you know? 'Cause God forbid I forget something and we just stop and get it, you know, or figure it out together. But I wanted to say also one more thing, if that's okay. I don't want to, because you had some thoughts that you were going through. I don't want to like...
No, yeah, but that's okay.
Okay. The other thing is I want to say with the big life decisions, that can be a lot to navigate because we can have like really wildly different opinions about it. But I think the it can be offered to each of us to like run away from those moments, right? To like cower away from those big decision discussions, you know, because we're pretty sure we're just not going to agree about it. But I feel like that is marriage. That's like when marriage shines, is when it's like, okay, what do we want to do about this big thing? And you can feel something really strongly. I can feel something really strongly. And we like almost revel in the process of like really rooting that out together. So yeah. what's the beautiful thing in these two directions we're coming from that works together, or that like, what's the beautiful thing we're uncovering here? But if we're not in health, we can tend to just want to run away from that instead of run in like, oh, this is the next level of us figuring out who we are together and what this process of figuring out this big decision is going to up-level us to. So it's not like, oh, his big opinion about, I don't know, like moving somewhere or something like that is going to ruin my life, you know, because we already know that we're in life together to benefit one another. And then we can figure out, well, why do you feel so strongly about that? Okay. And in that working out, we can figure out where each of us can give a little or something like that, or just be willing to sit for a season, short or long, in kind of the unknowing and still choose that the other one is valid, that the other one isn't doing something to hurt our life by having a very different opinion.
So then how about if we're figuring out a thing together, right, okay, in life? What to you looks like me leading, if it's not just me always making the call and doing it the way that I see? How can I still be leading even if we end up going with your plan or your opinion? You know, how do those two match?
Well, I think that again, for me, it comes back to a lot of like tone and demeanor and even body language, right? Because it's not like okay, fine, you know, if there's like a defeat, if there's a tone of defeat with how you respond, then honestly, it kind of takes the fun out of it too. It kind of takes the honor of my opinion being weighty. It takes the honor out of that a little bit. I don't actually really want a life where you are just defeated by me. That's not, I don't know, that doesn't feel like relationship. So how can, okay, so to your question, if we go with my thing, how can it be still honoring? I think that it's,
how is it still me
leading? How is it still you leading? It's, I think for me, I want to see that you've like weighed it, that you're like, okay, I see what you're saying there. Yeah, that's valid. Okay. Okay. So, Corey, how can we put the two of these things together? I know there's a place. I know there's a way that this decision can benefit both of us, or can benefit our family, or and so it's kind of almost leading the tone, leading the atmosphere can still happen even when we choose my decision. Like, I think of like Darcy's name, right? I was like, what about the name Darcy? And you were like, no. And I was like, all right, you know, and a few weeks later you were like, you know, I keep thinking about the name Darcy Halleck, yeah, and that's super cute. And I was like, yeah, it is, duh. But you had been kind of weighing it. You had been rolling it over and over in your head, and you were like, you know, I can see that. I can hear it. I can hear it for our daughter, you know? And so I think within that, it's like you were mulling over my opinion and allowing it to kind of be refined in your own head and heart, and then seeing where, okay, I can see that, and then get on board with it.
So it sounds like it's important for a man, men, to, even if we are saying, okay, well, she's right on this one. Mm-hmm. To have our own thought, even still, to not just be a blank slate and wait to have your own thoughts until your wife gives it. And mm-hmm. you know, I was listening to another podcast once. The guy on there was saying that a good model for like communicating as a husband to a wife would be to basically like say, hey, babe, this is something that I've been thinking. This is something that I would like to do or whatever. So you're coming into the table with your own thought. You're mm-hmm. coming to the table showing that you're not just being a lazy slacker who's hoping his wife picks up the slack. Mm-hmm. But then you say, now, but I want to get your opinion on it and mm-hmm. see what you think. Mm-hmm. Rather than omitting that whole first part and just saying, hey, what should we do about blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
So it seems like an element of leadership is just showing that if you don't make a call, I will.
Mm-hmm. And I think that in your phraseology, there can be saying things like, okay, wow, that I feel like that's really insightful, Corey. Like say decisions about our kids, you know, when we're discussing what are we going to do about these little hooligans? And I say, well, you know, I think this is something that's going on for them spiritually, or I think this one is needing this, you know, this boundary or this thing to build them up. And you say, okay, wow, yeah, I can see, like, I hear you. That's really good. I feel like you really have a finger on this thing. I'm seeing this over here also. And then, you know, we figured out, but there's still, in your words, you're saying, wow, that's really good. You see her so well. Mm-hmm. And like affirming, like, wow, yeah, I see what you're saying there. Or even things like, huh, I want to think about that a bit. I want to see what God is saying for our family in that, or even what God is saying for me in that, you know, just like, because so often what our kids are going through is like a mirror of what we're going through. Right. So, and so a lot of it is like honorable speech toward the other one. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be long, not big sermons or whatever, or big statements of praise, but basically just even quick things. Wow. Okay. I really hear you. That's really good. That's really insightful.
Yeah.
It's just little affirmations, things that we would say to other people, like things that we would more easily say to people outside of our marriage than someone in our marriage. If somebody is saying like, I really think you ought to do this in life. Oh, wow. Huh. Interesting. You know, and even if you're writing them off, don't write your spouse off, but that kind of same like honoring speech. Oh, huh. Wow. I can see like, that's a really interesting viewpoint. Yeah. We would speak almost more respectfully and honorable like that outside of our marriage than inside our marriage. We're like, you idiot. You have no idea. I'm the one in the house all day. You don't even know. And so I think kind of treating one another with respect first, because you can respect somebody while not bowing to their wishes.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that it's harder in marriage sometimes to talk that way and everything mm-hmm. because we are more threatened in our marriage mm-hmm. than we are mm-hmm. by other people, which mm-hmm. is why it's so important, like we talk about all the time, to not just fix your marriage, but to... Mm-hmm. to find your identity mm-hmm. so that you can become less and less threatable mm-hmm. And less like woundable mm-hmm. even by your wife or mm-hmm. your husband mm-hmm. or whatever, because then you can be more, I don't know what's the word, magnanimous or benevolent or something mm-hmm. with your words mm-hmm. as I am.
So that you can get to the upper echelon level that I, Matt Halleck, am at.
Have arrived to.
Yeah.
It's lonely up here.
Oh, yeah.
right. Well, we had to take a moment to bring in another member of the family, another opinion.
Another woman's opinion.
Right. And so there might be some baby noises here in the background. But that's okay, because it's real life.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Okay, unless it's too distracting. Yeah. Okay, the third and last one for this series, segment, not series, but this moment in time.
This episode
is this idea that she is my better half. These just really get to me. So, but before I color the waters too much, what is your gut level reaction to this idea that that you are my better half?
Well, I think the first thing that like right off the bat, the first thing, and this has come out of health, is that we're not supposed to each be only half of ourselves, right? We're supposed to both come as whole people and make a new, like, we're just adding to one another. We're adding to one another's wholeness. We're not completing one another, like Jerry Maguire. So, she's my better half. Ooh. I think there is also like a self-congratulatory self-deprecation going on in that statement. Like, I'm only so-so. And again, and with all of these, especially this one is meant to be celebrating her. It's meant to be like, she is amazing. She adds so much to my life. She is incredible. I am blessed every day by her. But somehow I think saying those things in our culture have become a little too, like, whoa, that was too intense, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, wow, way to rub your good marriage in my face, you know? So saying, oh, yeah, she's my better half, kind of starts by saying, well, I'm an idiot, but, you know, at least she's there to keep the world going round. Meanwhile, she's like, could you give me a hand? You know, like, could you help? And so she's my better half is just kind of, it's also kind of just like, how do I want to express what I'm feeling here? Kind of a sense of defeat in where you are, right? Like, I'm only this, I'm only going to be this. And she's better than me.
Yeah,
right. And I don't think that I really want to exist in a place where you think I'm just better than you, and where I think I'm just better than you.
Right.
And again, I can hear this among women, like, I'm the best thing that ever happened to him, you know? And that may be true, aside from Jesus, right? Like, hopefully, you know, hopefully you guys are both the best thing that's happened to one another, and you're amazing friends and awesome lovers and all that stuff. But I don't think it actually honors me to just be like, oh yeah, she's my better half, because that has, I don't know, it just sounds so defeated to me.
Yeah.
Like, this is just where we are, and I'm, you know, and I want you to feel awesome about who you are.
Right.
I don't want you to feel like crap about who you are.
Right.
I want you to feel like a badass warrior who has a badass warrior woman, like, what's the phrase? taking names.
Kicking butt and taking names.
Kicking butt and taking names with you, you know? Yeah. I don't want you to feel like I'm a badass warrior and you're not.
And
that's
I'm just
sad.
Some little dumb peon.
Yeah, and you're like, yay, Jafar, he's our man. So, like.
I hope she gets
I
to visit
me. I hope she likes
tonight.
Me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll just be in our conjugal tent waiting for my awesome woman to come.
Twiddling my thumbs.
Oh, gross. It's so gross. So, that's kind of disappointing because it's like, well, then what are you giving her?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. If she's just like, she's awesome and you're not,
We think that the gift is how highly I think of her to think that way, and it's just not. And
remember that song? Was it like the 90s? Like, she's a god and I am not.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forget who that was, but I remember that. But yeah, it's like that. Wow, that's so... Oh man, that is exactly what it's like.
And I know that we're doing it right in life, Matt, because we were driving around, I was with the girls a couple months ago in the car, and the song like I'm a sucker for you, right, came on, and Rebecca was like, what? And she's 10, and she was like, I don't want a guy to be a sucker for me, I want him to be awesome for me, and I was like, yes.
Yeah. Or that other one that we mentioned lately too that was like, I like me better when I'm with you.
Yes, I like me better when I'm with you. And Rebecca was like, huh? This is terrible.
Yeah.
And so it's just super funny because she's already noticing stuff like that in pop culture where she's like, wait, then no. Why? Like,
right.
that's not like healthy.
Right.
And that makes me happy for her.
Right.
And for other girls, because that's, I don't want them to feel like they're supposed to find a guy who just like cows to them all the time.
Yeah. Well, and not only just cowing to them, but also, like you said, like just thinking so low of yourself. That means that I don't have anything to offer, right? If you're my better half,
right,
I have nothing to give. So my only other, alternative is to need,
right,
and take from you,
right, and also it's not even being honest, because deep down in there are things that you do suspect that are right about what you think, about how you feel, about things you want, and they will seep out of you somehow.
But if you're not being honest about it, they'll probably seep out in bitterness.
They'll seep out in some sort of unhealth, yeah.
In the swampy sludge of bitterness.
Right, and so if it's not, if you, it's like that phrase I came up with for me as a wife, like I don't want to be outwardly subservient and inwardly bitter. I think that can be for husbands too. I don't want to be like outwardly adoring and inwardly bitter.
Yeah.
You know, that's not real. And
yeah.
We will both start to see through it really fast.
Right. Right.
Which is a thing that happened in our marriage, right? Where you would do things that outwardly seemed so romantic and adoring and whatever. And you only felt even the outward stuff. You were like, wow, like I am really lavishing her with whatever. And I was feeling like, I think this is all kind of a lie. Like, I think this is all kind of actually making him feel better, not me. Like, to where I was feeling almost like trapped by your overtures of goodness, because I was like, well, under this is somebody who's actually not meeting my needs.
It, and more than it making me feel better, it was like the tool set that I knew
that
to use
given.
To try
yeah.
to try to heal what
yeah.
needed healing.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, I mean, it made me feel like, well, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do, but it,
yeah.
but it was more just like, it was trying to, yeah, I don't know, fix these deep, my own interpersonal problems with romance.
Right.
And
which I think if ever anybody is coming into a discussion about their marriage, thinking the thoughts, well, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing, and they blah, blah, blah. Not only do you have a pride issue, but also, like, you might be using the wrong tool set for your wife, for your husband. And that's when it comes back to there, because for some of these things, like, maybe not these things, but like for some of the things that was like, no woman wants to be danced with in public, you know, maybe there probably are women who do. And so it comes down to you need to know your relationship. You need to know your spouse and figure out what benefits them. You can't just read a book and then just do those things and be like, well, I'm doing the tools. It might not be the right tools.
But again, you can't just start there, though. You can't start with knowing her to know what works for her. You have to fix this broken perspective that I am just kind of a piece of junk.
Right. Well, you can't swing a hammer with a broken elbow.
Right. You can only get to know her and what works and actually start doing what works from a place of
health,
self-honor and strength and realizing, oh, I am God's gift to this woman. Not just that she's a gift to me, but she's
not
lucky.
Not in a prideful way, but in an actual, like,
and she is lucky to have
been given to one another for benefit.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not just so lucky that she has got me. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
And more spiritually than that, in my opinion, this is completely false kingdom thinking. Colossians 2 says that in Jesus we have been filled, and other translations say in him we are made complete.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just an out-and-out contradiction to that. It says, well, no, I'm complete, in Jesus, but Jesus and my wife.
Right.
And that's, in my opinion, that's idolatry.
Yeah.
And it is, it's dangerous because it's putting a lot of pressure on her.
It's a lot of pressure, yeah. And I think, you know, it's funny because another one of the things that we're going to talk about, because we're going to keep going through all these lies so this is the teaser episode because it's going to be tagged on to your teaching about these, right? So, but another one is that we're going to talk about later is that I have to love her like Jesus. Well, that's mutually exclusive to she's my better half. Jesus doesn't think the church is his better half.
Right.
No way.
Right. Right.
So that doesn't work together,
and
actually.
He's supposed to be my model. So
right.
If he's not thinking that way,
then you should not. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. So, yeah. Those three. That was super long. We're a little over an hour.
My episodes are normally 20 minutes or 30 at the most, but it's okay. I think this is really
a little picture of Matt's life with me. I have a lot to say.
She does. But these things are priceless. Absolutely priceless. And yes, Corey mentioned it already. We are going to go through... Well, we did five more lies together, but those are going to be...
Because there was seven in your thing, but then there's like a bonus one.
And then
I
added an eighth, yeah. Oh. So we're going to go through five more lies, but those are going to be inside the Take Back Your Marriage training course that has already been up and available to buy and everything like that. But if you want to get in on that complete training, it's a video course with audio files there as well, but the video course has PowerPoints, and I go through all of these lies, make different, you know, just different kingdom observations about them, and we really reset this broken marriage mindset. So that's all there, but our conversation on these other lies is going to continue, and that will be inside that course if you want to get it. I'll put the link to that info about it in the show notes here, and you'll be able to grab that if you so desire. Those other lies that are coming up, Corey mentioned one of them. You have to love her like Jesus. You just have to die to yourself. God uses marriage, like his main point in your marriage is to build your character. And then the last two are about sex, which are exciting. one of which is that the Song of Solomon is not about sex. It's only about Jesus. And the final lie that we'll be going over is this concept that sex begins in the kitchen. And we'll look at where it actually begins. So anyway, that's all coming. Thank you for listening today to the listeners. And Corey, thank you for talking with me.
Yeah.
And I think that I really do think that a lot of guys are going to hear this and be, I don't know, spurred in the right direction. Do you have any thoughts you want to say?
Closing? Well, I hope that that these opinions don't then just sway your listeners to being like, oh, then this. I hope that the overwhelming sentiment here is, if you like, go get her opinion. You know, like, go get your wife's opinion on these things. Go see like what does work for you guys, because it's not just, oh, well, you know, Matt and Corey said. These are things that we've figured out in our relationship, and some of them may be the same in their relationships. Others may not, you know? And so my hope is that this just kind of spurs conversations of like, hey, these are things that I've thought. Like, even little things, like, remember way back in our marriage how you thought that it was your job to buy me diamonds. Right? Like, and so for a season, like, every piece of jewelry you'd get for me had diamonds in it, but we were also like butt poor. And so they were like little pieces of jewelry that had been like dipped in like crushed diamond powder, you know, because it was like all, they were like, oh, I'll just make some with these extra bits of diamond. And I was like, that's so sweet, but I actually don't like, I don't need this tiny little minuscule piece of jewelry just because it has diamonds. I remember when I was like, hey, you know what jewelry I really love is the jewelry at World Market. And you were like, what? And you were like, that's way cheaper. And I was like, yeah, I know. Just like, go buy me some cool earrings at Cost Plus. And so even little things like that, where it's like, get like, there might just be things and manners of life that we're living in that we think, oh, well, that's the right thing to do. I gotta buy her diamonds, you know? And it's like, no, it's get to know her and know what you guys like together. And hopefully it's super freeing.
Yeah. But you have to get to know her while letting her finally get to know the real you.
Right. Yes.
That's that, we can't skip that. Not that you were saying differently, but just, yeah, that's a big shift.
Yeah.
In these things. So, all right. That is going to be it for this episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. Check the show notes for the links we talked about for the Take Back Your Marriage course. If you haven't gotten it already, you can grab the DNA of a Man as well. I'll be putting that link in the show notes. And I'll put the link to Corey's podcast, Unshaken Reign, in the show notes as well. And you can pass that along to your wife if you so desire. All right. Talk to you later, fellas. This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.